flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ohio State Notre Dame, the guy who has led, Will Howard, doing a hell of a job. Riley Leonard doing a hell of a job. These two meet on Monday. And a guy who's playing in a Notre Dame-Ohio State game, Brady Quinn, joins us on the show right now. Brady, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys. How we doing?
We're doing really well. All right, so Ohio State, they are the favorite. I think Notre Dame's going to try to play this game in a phone booth. I think it's going to be tight. How do you think this game is going to go, and who do you think wins?
Well, look, I think it's easy to look at Ohio State, look at the talent, look at their health. I mean, they're obviously a healthier team, even though their offensive line has faced some issues, not as much recently as Notre Dame. I mean, they're on to potentially their third left tackle, which would be Tosh Baker. He came in this past game and struggled, honestly, 5 pressures, gave up a sack, and limited work. So there's definitely some concerns about the O-line, D-line injuries. Our best cornerback, Ben Morrison's been out for a while now. Leonard Moore is a freshman All-American. He's done a tremendous job, but it's a tall task when you're talking about trying to stop a guy like Jeremiah Smith or Emeka Abuka for that case. So I think to your point, like, you can't count out this Notre Dame team because every single time someone's gone down, there's been a guy who stepped up. And you can talk about the Georgia game, RJ Open, who had a sack all season and steps up, causes a strip sack. That leads to a touchdown pass from Riley Leonard. Bo Collins, Riley Leonard struggled to throw the football down the field this year. You go back to this most recent game. It's a 10-0 ball game. There's a 2-minute drive before half. Riley Leonard goes down. He's being evaluated for a concussion. Steve Vangeli, the backup quarterback, steps up. Bing, 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 like right down the field. Sets him up for a field goal before half. Builds momentum and kind of, I think it helps people kind of have a sigh of relief. So I think it's going to be a tight game. It'll honestly just depend upon, I think, how Ohio State starts. And if they start the way they have so far in these playoffs, where they jump out to these fast starts, they can build these leads, in particular getting Jeremiah Smith involved early, it will be about Notre Dame hanging in there. But if it ends up being a slow start, I give Notre Dame every single chance of trying to drag Ohio State out into the deep water, make them play their game in a phone booth, and let the more physical team win.
Well, did you see a blueprint based on what Texas was able to do? Because there was no blueprint based on the Tennessee games and obviously what was going on with Oregon. I mean, those were blowouts. Those games were over seemingly 8 minutes into those games. But Texas, that game was a fistfight there in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I think that the difference is Texas and Ohio State match up extremely well at almost every single position group. You know, if you look at, for example, the receivers and the speed of Texas and then their secondary as well, you know, they match up somewhat favorably. So, you know, you can put guys on islands. You can allow a guy to be in man-to-man coverage and not be sweating it. You know, Pete Kwiatkowski didn't really change a whole lot from what he's done in the past. He typically runs a post-high zone coverage for the most part. He'll mix in some man. He'll mix in some split safety. But the way he runs his defense, he wasn't going to change it just for Ohio State. It's because of the personnel they have. For Notre Dame, it's entirely different. They give you such a variety of looks. Al Golden, I think I'm actually worried after this game, you know, may end up being the defensive coordinator in the NFL. I mean, he's that good with the variety of blitzes, the variety of coverages, the way he changes up the fronts and looks, and especially with a lot of guys who are backups. So the difference for this is, I think, and how this game's going to play out, is more of the scheme and the adjustments throughout the course of the game. And Marcus Freeman has done an unbelievable job with his staff making adjustments, in particular in the second half of games. Last week, for example, versus Penn State. But he'll need to in this one because this is another, you know, another kind of cat and mouse game between some staffs that are familiar with one another. But also at the same time, I think, you know, do some of their best football once you get into the game and once you see what teams are trying to take away and how they respond to that.
Brady Quinn with us on the hotline, giving us perspective like only he could. He's experienced this game. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But I found it interesting. Marcus Freeman, it's been a hallmark of the Notre Dame defense this year, man-to-man defense. Texas decided to go zone, and they were pretty successful with it, bracketing around Jeremiah Smith, not allowing a lot of those man beaters that Ohio State has used with Chip Kelly to free him up in the earlier playoff games. What do you think? Give me the chess match here. What do you think Marcus Freeman will do? Because you said he's been so great at making those adjustments this year.
Yeah, so Notre Dame likes to play a lot of man. You know, and really, Pete Kwiatkowski, they'll play zone, but they actually play a lot of times what's called a match zone. So sometimes it plays out to be man. But the biggest thing they were doing was putting two receivers to his side to try to eliminate him. Now, where Ryan Day and Chip Kelly are so special is it's hard to play man against them, not necessarily because of the personnel, because of the mesh concepts. I mean, how many times have you guys seen Ohio State run guys underneath and they've got three guys going to the opposite side of the field, and whether it's Emeka Abuka or Jeremiah Smith or Carnell Tate or whoever you want to point to, they're getting picked. You know, they're getting picked for, and they're going to be open in space. You know, Ryan Day, back, you know, during his time as a play caller, was able to dial up stuff like that. And you know Chip Kelly does that as well. So to me, the double-edged sword for Notre Dame's defense and Al Golden, it's not just taking away Jeremiah Smith. To me, it starts with a run game because that was what I thought Texas took away first, is they tried to limit the impact of Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson. Because if you allow Ohio State to have both going, you're never going to be able to stop them. You're hoping and praying that you don't give up some big plays and you can force field goals, not touchdowns in the red zone. And that's just not a winning formula. So they're going to try to force Ohio State to throw the football and make some big plays versus pressure and at times versus man-to-man. Now, are they going to add a robber? Are they going to have a safety helping out on Jeremiah Smith's side of the field? You betcha. And they do as good of a job of disguising. There's times when I'm watching the game live and I'm like, I need to go back and watch it on tape because of the way they go about, you know, disguising their coverage and how they go about hiding who's the robber and really, you know, what the safety's responsibility is, when oftentimes he's a middle field safety, but he's more slanted to one side of the field, like he's kind of shading over, more stuff like you see at the NFL level. So to me, it all starts with whether or not Notre Dame can stop the rushing attack first and then get Will Howard and Ohio State in a 3rd-and-7-plus scenario where then they can, you know, given their mixture of looks, mixture of coverages, and mixture of pressures as well, to play a role in all that.
Brady Quinn, Fox Sports, Big Noon Kickoff, Fox Sports Radio, 3rd and Goal Foundation on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Of what you said, it's excellent stuff. How much of the Michigan game against Ohio State played into what you just said of what Notre Dame could do Monday?
Well, I think that's part of it. But, like, look, the Northern Illinois game plays into, I think, Notre Dame and how they've responded and how they're going to try to, you know, have to overcome some stuff. Because physically they got beat up in that game. And I think, you know, how they've responded, you know, to that game has been in large part the fact of, like, trying to make sure that they, you know, dominate the line of scrimmage and are able to run the football. And that's, it's tough to stop their rushing attack, in part because Jeremiah Love, and I know people are going to take issue with this, he's the best running back on the field on Monday night. And I know people, they can say whatever they want. Go watch this young man. Look at his highlights. Go back and watch the touchdown that he had versus Penn State on the goal line. And he's playing on an MCL. So if it gives you any idea of how tough the kid is, how dynamic he is, I mean, he's jumping off one leg hurdling players. He's the closest thing Notre Dame's had to Reggie Bush. And that's saying something. So, you know, that rushing attack with him, Jadarian Price, and then Riley Leonard, their quarterback, is what makes them tough to stop. And this is as good of a, you know, defense as you're going to face in college football in Ohio State. But when you have to attribute an extra body down around the line of scrimmage because of the quarterback run game, and then when we were there this year, I mean, we saw times when even Marshall's quarterback, Stone, was able to kind of run around a little bit and scramble. But that's been the way Notre Dame's been able to play these games and win. They've capitalized off other teams' mistakes, and their offense hasn't necessarily put them in too bad of harm's way. I mean, Riley threw a couple picks this past game that were bad, but the defense stepped up for the most part and really didn't hurt them. So, you know, this is going to come down to really, I mean, it sounds boring, but it's Ohio State, it's Notre Dame, it's blue bloods of college football. It's who's going to dominate the line of scrimmage. And if Ohio State can stop the rushing attack for Notre Dame, force Riley Leonard to be a pocket passer, they're going to win the game.
What has Marcus Freeman done to go from a player's coach as an assistant and to not be a head coach that players just end up taking advantage of? Because I don't know if we've seen this type of success. He's been fantastic, and he's got everybody's ear.
You know, it's two things. You see how genuine he is. When you get in a locker room, players are going to be able to sniff out when guys are like these used car salesmen, as you see sometimes, right? You know, they're good at calling defense or offense, and they get the head coaching job, and they're selling recruits, they're selling guys in the portal, this whole, you know, Bill, I mean, and none of it's true, right? They turn into a different character once the guy gets there. And he's just genuine. He's built those relationships up with the players, the coaches. I think how he communicates to them is very honest and real. And I think players see that and they respect it and they respond to it. The other thing is how he goes about his leadership. I think a lot of people talk about leadership being leading by example. It doesn't stop there, though. And one of the things that he prides himself on is when you're a leader, being able to hold other people accountable, too. It's one thing to just do your job and leading by example, because that's kind of what defines that. But if you can't hold other guys accountable to do theirs, too, then it falls at just your feet. You're the only one who's doing your job. So I think he's built up a culture of accountability amongst all these guys. And it's one of the reasons why I think when they've had this next man up mentality, it's because they've held each other accountable through off-season workouts, through the course of the season, to get to this point. And that's one of the things that I think is truly rare and special. Yeah, it's such a young age, too, of a head coach to be able to exemplify a lot of these things. And I got to be honest, I said this the other day, he reminds me a lot of Jim Tressel. His head coaching style, and I was recruited by Coach Tressel. I loved Coach Tressel. It just wasn't the right fit for me, but he reminds me a lot of Coach Tressel, and I think that's who he's kind of embodied, and he's probably taken a lot away from his experience as a player with Coach Tressel and applied it at Notre Dame.
All right, Brady, you have been awesome giving us the very polished broadcaster perspective here. I want to hear from Brady, the diehard Notre Dame fan now, because you got to turn into fan mode at some point when all the work is done and you get ready for that game, and you played in a Fiesta Bowl against Ohio State. I thought that was so much talent on the field for that game going back. And you remember all the storylines that emerged and the half-seed jersey and all of that fun stuff. First of all, how many Ohio State friends do you have in your life that you are talking smack with right now behind the scenes?
Well, I mean, there's a ton. I mean, my dad graduated when he came back from Vietnam. His family moved to Columbus, so he's an Ohio State alum. He went to graduate school there. I've got buddies and friends who went there. Our Third and Goal Foundation supports the student veterans. We have a separate peer-to-peer mentorship program at Ohio State. So I'm very familiar with Ohio State. I have plenty of friends and family and people who root for the team. I mean, that's who they root for. So there's a lot of that. I mean, the reality is, like, it's obviously more respectful. And that's you know, look, when I'm not rooting for Notre Dame, I root for Ohio State.
Yeah, but we don't want the respect now. We don't. We know, Brady, if Notre Dame, if your team beats Ohio State, that will take this rivalry to unprecedented levels. Because I'm an Ohio State guy. I got a lot of Notre Dame friends in my life, and we have gone back and forth over the last 20 years about these two teams. I kind of wish they played every single year. I wanted Notre Dame in the Big Ten so these two teams could match up because they're in each other's basically backyards. They're recruiting some of the same players, obviously. So, I mean, what is your feeling going to be walking into that? Are you going to the game on Monday down in Atlanta?
We're having a baby tomorrow, so I will not be in attendance for the game. But no, look, my general feeling is it's huge. I mean, this is again one of those huge matchups that, like, when I went to Notre Dame, we played Michigan every year, and obviously Michigan recruited me, and I liked a lot of things about Michigan. I liked Lloyd Carr, I liked the quarterback coach Scott Leffler. I had a lot of respect for the program because I grew up in Columbus, so I understood that rivalry. For the game and what it meant and really how good both programs were. And during my childhood, Michigan got the better of Ohio State, you know, for a large part of that during the John Cooper years. It wasn't until Jim Tressel got there where he was able to turn the tide. And I was there in attendance when he made the statement there back at what was the old arena there, the old basketball
St. John's.
Arena. Yeah, St. John's. So, you know, I was there for all that. But I guess the thing that, like, I go back to is, you know, these are the sorts of matchups and rivalries that, like, you lived for. That's why you went there for. I mean, again, playing Michigan, you know, it was back then. They don't play them every year now. But it kind of had that same feel to me as this. So this, I think, would be as much as it would be a huge statement for Ohio State and Ryan Day, it'd be a bigger statement for Notre Dame. Because it's been longer since they've won a national championship. Because the guy who's won the most games as a head coach there left. And said that he wanted to be in an environment where he could win championships. And he could try to walk that back now. And I'm talking about Brian Kelly for people who don't know who I'm talking about at LSU. But he made that statement. And in making that statement, you're saying that you don't feel like you can in Notre Dame. And so the reality is, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I run the collective. I started the collective for Notre Dame. That following day after I saw the statements, I called my attorney. We filed the LLC. And we got that thing up and going. And if you look at a lot of the players who have impacted this team, they're transfer players. They're benefiting from NIL, the collective, et cetera. So, you know, there's a lot of Notre Dame fans who, you know, really want to not only, you know, stick it to get back to the top of the mountain in college football, but there's a lot of people, too, who felt burned by Brian Kelly. And this is kind of like a waving your finger down at Brian Kelly at LSU, saying, like, see what you left, see what you missed out on. But it's a big moment for many reasons, the rivalry with Ohio State, the history of it, all that, but also just for Notre Dame fans in general because of how they feel like they were burned by their former head coach and the guy's won more games than anyone at Brian Kelly.
Dude, that awesome. Awesome. I mean, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling from a Notre Dame guy about how you are feeling about this game and the collective, and now you're having a child. I mean, this could be a magical, magical, you know, next week. For the Quinn family, do you want to hear from Lou Holtz? Do you want Holtz to get under the skin of Ryan Day before this game? Play some mind games. Already, Jim Tressel apparently is perhaps going to talk to the Notre Dame players. I mean, is that going to get under the skin of Ryan Day?
I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's that hard to get under the skin of Ryan Day if he was mad at Lou Holtz. You know, I mean, the reality is like...
Yes.
Like Michigan every single year, the last 4 years, I was there this year. Like, we covered this game. And I remember sitting there pregame this year looking at the Michigan defensive line, right, with Mason Graham and these – I mean, they're massive, by the way. Like I feel like they get bigger every year. But I'm looking at them like, these guys don't seem concerned at all. They're having an awful season. Their offense can't score points. And the look in their eyes of this Michigan team that doesn't look half as talented as Ohio State, it's like – yeah, we've beat this team up the last 3 years. We're going to beat them up again. And they did it again. it's Michigan's offense has been so putrid this year. It was hard to watch. Like, I would never say what I do in broadcasting is a job, but watching Michigan's offense this year was actual work. It was painful to watch. And the fact that they were somehow able to go into Columbus and win that game, it still blows my mind. Like, to this day, blows my mind. And so I sit there and look at it and say, like, if there's a question of physicality, well, yeah, because Michigan was the more physical team. And that's what's going to be at stake in this game on Monday. You know, whether or not they can stop the run.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value plus CRV. Limit 3 free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit 2 packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Whether or not they can be the more physical team. Because that's the only card that Notre Dame has if they're going to win this game. That, and I think their special teams are dangerous. They're creative. Their field goal kicker struggled this season. Mitch Jeter, also a transfer player, but he's been lights out so far in the playoffs. But the fakes they come up with, all the stuff they bring out of their bag of tricks is hard to prepare for. So that's the one X factor, and it truly is in this case, is the return game and the special teams for Notre Dame if they have an advantage there of Ohio State.
At Brady underscore Quinn on Twitter. Look at the Third and Goal Foundation. He's wonderful. Brady, no lie. I've watched Big Noon Kickoff since it started. You've converted the entire show. We thank you very much for the time. All the best.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on. And I'd say go Bucks and I'd do a matchup, but this time it's go Irish.
Brady Quinn on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. That was excellent. Not very hard to get under Ryan Dayski.
He's got
to
be one of those who has who knows so many growing up where he grew up, yeah. Having the father's connection, and obviously we all know about the story of the Fiesta Bowl in 2006. Like, who's more intertwined between those two teams? What perfect person to have on as we get ready for an awesome national championship game.
Cardiac Kid highlighted, it does say players in the article. You said it, players. I didn't. I went through it way too fast. I thought it was
we're
coaches,
back on the
staff.
Brown story here.
Yeah, sorry.
We just had Brady Quinn on, and now we're back to talking Browns.
We just had Brady Quinn on. It was great. He said it's easy to get under Ryan Day's skin in a joking fashion, but it was hilarious. Sitting back and listening to you two talk about the rivalry, because, hey, you went to Ohio State. He went to Notre Dame. I'm the odd man out. So it was nice to watch that and to see it. Go listen to that interview, 92.3thefan.com. Laid it out for the Notre Dame fans that are out there. Laid it out how Notre Dame could get them. Played a little bit with the Michigan stuff.
Notice,
it was very, very good.
Notice, I haven't been that cocky. I've not been that cocky.
I guaranteed a victory. I got out of the shower this morning. I guaranteed a victory on Monday. I'm not an Ohio State fan, which some people thought I was trying to put the Maloik on you. I'm not.
I think
you'll win.
Will I be insufferable if Ohio State wins? Of course. That's college football. That's
Jeremiah
what you're supposed
Love,
to be.
The best running back on the field. I thought you might take umbrage with that. You didn't.
Or you didn't challenge. I mean, that run was nothing short of special against Penn State. Look, I at halftime thought that game was over. I was getting ready to go to bed. I'm like, that's it. This game is over. There's no way. Notre Dame's just, it's been a great year for Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman. The hard thing is, I like Marcus Freeman. Like, this was so much easier when I hated Brian Kelly. So much easier. That, you know, when Ohio State went up against them in the Fiesta Bowl, it was easy. I despise Notre Dame. I like this team. I like this Notre Dame team.
It's true.
That'll end come Monday night, you know, 7:30 or whenever they actually kick the ball off. That'll end abruptly. I will no longer appreciate and respect the Notre Dame team.
Still one of my greatest times I've ever had at Notre Dame. I've been on the campus twice, and the one was when you used the bathroom right next to me, and you never do, and it was one of the funniest things. I'll take that to my grave as one of the funniest moments of my life.
We were laughing out loud.
Because you came in chuckling, and I didn't know why you were chuckling, and then and then the noises that happened during it, I can't describe it. I'm not allowed to do it. It was, guys, it was unbelievable. If I ever see you guys at a – if we ever see you at an event, if we ever do an event again – I will describe it in vivid detail if you want me to. One of the funniest moments I've ever been in my life with Lima at the University of Notre Dame campus. So in the article from The Athletic, Cardiac Kid pointed this out to me, and thank you very much for doing so. It says, according to multiple players, those mistakes weren't pointed out in film sessions, the mistakes that Deshaun Watson was making here, frustrating at least a few veterans who believes Stefanski wouldn't criticize Watson in front of the team. I want you to get that Albert Breer ready. I know you do. When Jameis Winston replaced Watson after he had tore his Achilles in October, players said Stefanski returned to pointing out the quarterback's mistakes in film sessions. So that's anti-Watson. That's also anti-Stefanski.
Oh, it's big-time anti-Stefanski.
Yes.
We do not like hearing that. We had heard rumors of that, and now those rumors have turned into, you know, sourced stories.
Yeah, that can't
that are
be
published.
Good.
That's not good.
That can't be good.
Yeah, it's not good because we want to have the confidence that Stefanski can coach any type of player in any type of situation. And yeah, a lot's been thrown
at
them.
My confidence has been shaken.
Yeah.
My confidence
absolutely.
Has been shaken because it's like, if I'm hearing from Charles Robinson, I'm trying not to get loud. If I'm hearing from Charles Robinson that Bill O'Brien had to call the offense from the sidelines in an NFL practice, you knew what you were getting into. So if you knew what you were getting into, like, again, you could have just put the deal back together with Baker Mayfield and moved on, but you decided he wasn't good enough, and he may very well not be good enough. I think that I could turn this into a long-form thing, and I don't want to. I think that the freak out over Burrow and Mahomes and Allen led to those decisions.
That is absolutely true.
Because I think that then you guys played part in making this, but either way, you knew what you were getting into. If I can't just get mad, if I have a player and he can't get from point A to B in a certain time, I have to figure out a way that he could get to C and we can make this work. So I don't give a damn. I can't sit there and blame Deshaun Watson for everything. He makes an easy scapegoat. He's the easiest scapegoat I think we've ever had in our careers in Cleveland sports. I can't sit there and blame him for every single bleeping thing that's happened over the last 3 years, and I won't. There is a way out of this. Because I do say that until we are separated here, there will be a cloud. It's cast over the city. It's cast over the fan base. Albert Breer was on Afternoon Drive yesterday, gave you a way out. Says that there is a clear path to voiding some of these guarantees here. Here's Albert Breer on Afternoon Drive. Go.
If they say, okay, we're going to investigate how this happened. Like, did this happen while he was training, or did this happen on a boat somewhere? And if it happened while he was training, are we still willing to go after his money? Because if it did happen while he was training and it wasn't like a team-approved training activity, they still could go after it, which is an interesting kind of loophole in all of this, where anything that happens outside the facility can be deemed a non-football injury. But generally, teams aren't going to punish guys for rehabbing or training outside of their walls. It's a path, yes, avoiding his guarantees, but it's a path where, like, once you open the door, like, I don't think you can walk back what you've done. I think they're going to have to be careful about this, but certainly, like, there's a very clear path where it could wind up avoiding his guarantees for sure.
Why would you have to be very careful about this? Here's the hitch.
teams are different levels of cutthroat, I'd say. Like, let's just say, hypothetically, like, if he retort because he was doing something dumb, that's something else, right? But, like, let's say he was in a rehab facility in Miami and that's how it happened, right? Then you go and you void his guarantees and you go after his money. Other players are going to see that. How are other players going to look at that? And if you're another player and you see that, you're making a lot less money than Deshaun, and you see that they did that, you're like, gee, like, okay, well, like, when I'm away from the facility now, if I get hurt, and when I'm away from the facility now, I'm not going to rehab that hard because I got to be careful about it. I just think, like, that can be a tough precedent for a team to set. I think it's something you have to, like, kind of bear in mind if you're moving forward here.
So here's the issue I have. While it's been highlighted to me, and in the article it says players were frustrated by the lack of calling out Deshaun Watson, we could talk ourselves into saying, hey, the players would say, bleep it. That's his problem, not ours. That's not how it works with some players, with a lot of players. It's this has become increasingly adversarial between players and owners and teams in all sports over the last umpteen years. It, basically throughout the entirety of professional sports. There's going to be a lot of players who look at that going, if they're willing to do that to him, are they willing to do it to me? Are they willing to do it to me? And that changes some things. That you are sending a very clear message. And remember who Deshaun Watson's agent is. The most powerful agent in the NFL, David Mulugeta. That would have ramifications to this. So I think any of us, when we hear about voiding the contract, I can't even run and I'm sprinting.
Guys, I'm
telling you, we got to take this easy.
Am I wrong in that my assumption was always that the Browns told him to get out of here? Like, get out of here.
Okay, well, if they told him to get out of here, then you can't be voiding this.
That's what I mean. And it's just a theory. I have no intel or anything. Because all along, and I talked about this on Monday, my thought is there's no way Deshaun Watson would be stupid enough to risk a huge portion of guaranteed money by either not going through rehab the right way or going somewhere else and potentially doing something that wouldn't be considered on the company time, on the company clock. So there's no way he'd be that stupid. There's no way his agent and his team around him would be that stupid to allow him to risk that. So the reason he's not in Berea all the time is because the team said, we don't need this. Like, Deshaun, go enjoy your time off, and we'll talk football when the time is appropriate.
This is why, from what Albert Breer is telling us, I think it's more likely you go the insurance route. He goes on the IR. He misses 2025. Then you cut bait in 2026. You get the cap relief in 2026. The voids and things like that, you get cap relief then, obviously. I would assume. Wouldn't I assume? If you're voiding a contract, maybe. I'm not sure about that part. But I think a lot of people would throw their hands up. Oh, my gosh, we're done with him. That could have an effect. Because, again, who his agent is. It's not like it's not Kenny Carmen, the agent. It's the most powerful agent in the NFL. Mitch, please.
All right, guys. This one comes to us from 92.3 The Fan Zone Afternoon Drive, in which Nick Wilson and Jonathan Peterlin were discussing the situation of the Browns quarterbacks yesterday. And Nick saying that until a quarterback steps on the field, the Browns fans will not be fully united.
It was wild to see the quarterback kerfuffle that was the rest of the station today. Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray, Sam Darnold played awfully. Well, now maybe that opens up the door for Sam Darnold, but closes the door for J.J. McCarthy. And I realized today, there is not a single quarterback that is going to unite Clevelanders until that dude steps on the field. And there's no play. Shedeur at 2, people are going to hate it. Cam Ward at 2, people are going to hate it.
He's right. We will hear from the vocal minority. I think a lot of people, if they were to turn in the card and it's Shedeur Sanders and there's no craziness outside of that, I think a lot of people will jump on board. All right, we're officially moving on. That was that. Now we're moving forward. If he goes out there and he sucks up the room, there's going to be a lot of I told you so's. If he goes out there and does great, it'll be crickets. We're used to this. I mean, hell, we've been doing this the last how many years? 7 years. Baker Mayfield's career. People didn't want him. He went out there, did really well, very quiet. Everything else since then. A lot of coulda, woulda, shouldas, a lot of I told you so since. So I think we're kind of used to that. But he's right. No one's going to be fully galvanized until they hit the field. But I think that's kind of the way with everybody. If we waited another year and they took Arch Manning, I think there'd be a lot larger consensus. But there's going to be people who pick apart his game. Because I wanted to say this during the whole Watson thing that we were talking about here in the last segment. I measure Patrick Mahomes. I usually have done this for like Golden State. I measure Patrick Mahomes not just in what I see. I want to measure Patrick Mahomes in what I see other teams do. When you are so good, you make other teams make bad decisions. Frantic bad decisions. That you see Mahomes, how are we going to compete with Mahomes? Can't be Baker Mayfield. We got to take a risk on this guy. Well, there's executives watching him on the sidelines saying that he needs the offense called for. Well, that's up to the coach of the, that's up to the one-time coach of the year. Like, that's what they do. And it makes you make bad decisions. And people did that, like teams did that when Golden State was cooking the whole second half of the 20-teens. There were a lot of teams that made some crazy-ass trades in attempts to try to beat Golden State, compete in the West, and it turned out really badly for them. And I think that that's kind of how this has turned out here for the Browns, and I think that this is kind of how other teams have made some decisions as well. Forcing some hands where they're not supposed to be. Yeah.
But I wonder now where, like for you personally, because I saw the reaction. We love reading the reaction, even when it's nasty. We love reading the personal, you know, insults that come just because we dared mention Kyler Murray, right? And so it was a slew of, oh my God. And we've gotten the, oh my God, over 7 different options so far. So I think you got to understand that's just coming.
Well,
that's coming from no matter what, because as we went into the offseason,
if they were that great, they wouldn't be available.
There is no solution that makes them a Super Bowl contender next year. I mean, unless people disagree. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe Myles Garrett disagrees. Maybe they told Myles Garrett and he disagrees. Maybe he thinks there is a shot. Because we started all of this at the start of today's show basically saying, hey, Myles Garrett, whatever they told him seemed to calm him down a little bit from a few weeks ago.
And you could say what you want to about it. Contracts will change things, but I would look at him and say, yeah, man, like you can give me a contract or I can just demand a trade and have that team get, unless you're Hassan Reddick and the Jets, which the Jets are idiots. Don't do anything the Jets do. I know. I'm not making a direct comparison there, obviously. I understand that we've made our own bad decisions here. But don't do anything the Jets do. Don't trade for a guy. But, yeah, you could always say, yeah, give me a contract or have a team trade for me and negotiate a contract extension with them. I don't want to be trading unless I have a new contract. And they could work some out. I don't want it to go to that level, though. I want them to do well with Myles Garrett. I want them to find somebody. Speaking of the quarterbacks, I'll do this with you on the air, and I might do this with callers. I don't want to get into it with people on the internet about the whole. I mean, if somebody thinks that Kyler Murray is great and thinks that I'm an idiot for it, fine, whatever. Am I going to get that mad over Kyler Murray? If they brought in Kyler Murray, I would probably, for a number two pick and that's it, I'd probably lose my mind.
Yeah.
But
yeah, you're not trading.
If I got a whole bunch in Kyler Murray, maybe I might be more amenable to it, even though the contract would be so prohibitive. But God, can I imagine myself getting a knockdown drag out over Kirk Cousins, even though I've called him leftover pot roast, or Derek Carr, or Joe Flacco, or any one of the other guys? I certainly wouldn't get in a fight over bringing back Joe Flacco, but any one of the other guys, like, nah, I can't do it. And they're available. We're kind of at the bottom of the barrel here. So that deal is going to have to be done. And again, if you go and get a quarterback at number two overall, I still wouldn't want to start on week one, which I'm sure is going to be another debate.
Hey, one debate at a time here, Kenny. Come on.
No, I'll throw a bunch in there. Which, by the way, we had somebody in the room, not named Anthony and not named Ken, who said that they don't care that much about the regular season wins. They're worried about the future of this Cleveland Cavalier team. That coming up.
It's a little bit of a misquote, but...
Well, I just said somebody. I didn't say that you said it.
Well, that's what we do around here. We just misquote people.
Sure as hell did.
Put it out there.
Sure as hell did now, didn't they? He fixed it. Say it real quick. Say it.
It's not that I don't care. I just can't enjoy them as much.
Oh, that's a good tease. Well done. It's coming up tomorrow. Big thanks to Brady Quinn. Brady Quinn was great. Listen to that. 92.3thefan.com. Said Jeremiah Love's best running back on the field. See why. Also, we went around the AFC North. Haney, Muller, Pony, they were all great. Listen to them, 92.3thefan.com. We're back tomorrow, 6 to 10. Mary Kay, 8:20. Oh, boy. Have a wonderful day, my friends.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.